welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast presented by MAP. Just a traditional unpack today with a little bit of an extra spice. We've got a previous guest we had last year on the pod, Max Gorn, joining us today just to talk general cycling shop. So welcome, Max.
Excited for this opportunity to be able to talk more cycling than footy.
You said this in the last pod you were with us that you wanted to get involved, and here we are, Alex.
Well, me and you, last pod, could have asked you football questions all day and you were just hanging to get on the cycling chat. So, welcome.
Thank
you. Don't have to talk any football.
Well, it is coming into round one, so we can talk a little bit of footy.
Pump up your ties a little bit. You can
sneak a question in.
I'm sure we'll sneak one in towards the back end. You were at Cadell's, that was correct? You did the 60K Fondo?
Yeah.
How was that?
I was going to do the 115, but the club found out I was doing it and I had a pretty big training camp coming up, so they recommended I did the 30, so we met in the middle ground and I did the 60. It was fun. It was everyone was happy. It was an extremely happy ride. I've never been like, everyone was just so happy to be there. And the first 40K was relatively cruisy, and then I sat on the front of the peloton and gave everyone a little toe in because I was leaving. So I had 20K up the front, and when I went off, I'd sort of said see you to the guys around me and said bye and turned right to go back to Geelong. And then I peeled over to my ride and I saw 100 people on my wheel. It was phenomenal. Thanks, Max. See you later. but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Where were you when the crosswinds went down? Were you know, when we came on that bike path and stopped?
Yep.
Were you towards the back end of the bunch?
No, I was middle. Yeah.
Not where you wanted to be at that time.
No, no. There was a couple of trains that broke up a couple of groups, which is a bit weird because it seems like, I think Geelong only has 3 trains a day and I managed to get both, which was a phenomenal effort. Got in there just under 2 hours.
Yeah.
So how long out from the season do you need to stop riding?
I'll never stop, but I'll just watch how hard I go over 60K if I did that again.
So throughout the season, you're still going?
I'll still get out there. It's not water skiing, so I shouldn't get in too much trouble.
was it Ollie Wines?
Yeah.
But
it's technically just riding a bike, which we've all been doing since we've been kids, but maybe I'll take it easy on some of the roads that have been known for some grumpy drivers or some big pelotons.
What happens in that situation for Wines? Like, he's done his, I'm not sure what he's done, but water skiing, I imagine it's not a good situation to be in.
No, it's funny, the sport or the activity doesn't get banned until someone hurts himself doing it. So we've got a ban on one-on-one basketball, which is weird. And we've got a ban on water skiing because Dean Kent tore his bicep off the bone when doing water skiing over the Chrissy break as well, similar to Ollie Wines. So, but then there's some other sports that no one's really got injured doing that we continue doing until someone hurts himself.
Did you have a clause in your BMC contract? No skydiving, rock climbing?
I don't think so. It was more like you can't do races that the team is not doing. So like one in Crit, for example, you had to get permission.
Yeah, which you can go climb up any mountain.
Yeah, you can probably go water skiing, do whatever you want. It's funny. It doesn't make sense.
Everyone talks about that's in your contract, but no one has actually read it. So I'm not sure if it's in there or not.
Just the manager goes over it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
tick.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we can't bungee or skydive, but if it goes wrong, I don't think I'll be looking at my contract anyway.
How much of the Aussie summer did you actually follow? Were you following it pretty closely from nationals all the way up until Sun Tour?
Yeah, so the Tour Down Under was obviously the main part of the summer that you try and watch. Nationals, I kept a close, not a close eye, but a bit of a far eye on Nationals, and then watched the Sun Tour and obviously watched the Cadell race, so they were the main four. The problem with the Tour Down Under, especially at the club, because it's during the day, we're at training, a lot of the TV's on the American sports.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a popular man when I asked to turn over. Classic NFL game. Can we put the last stage of the TDU on?
Didn't have many friends?
No, I had one, but they didn't really want to put it on. So, it was hard. I did watch it on replays and stuff like that, but it was a pretty good TDU, to be honest. To be able to get an Orica, what am I calling them these days? Mitchelton Scott. To be able to get a winner there, it was pretty good.
Probably last year when we started the Stanley Street Social, first year that I went full gas, all right, I'm going to lock in, I'm going to watch the whole season. watched bits and pieces previously. It is so hard to consume as a non-Eurosport subscriber.
Yep.
Have you got Eurosport?
I do have Eurosport. The hardest bit is actually what you've put down in front of me here, is being able to get who's actually riding in the tours. It's hard information to get, especially tours that aren't well coveraged on. I've got some apps and stuff that only cover some tours and some one-day classics. Some of the ones that aren't covered, they're pretty hard to find without paying for it. So,
is there a sport that does it? You consume everything by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
Is there a sport that does it the best?
I reckon tennis is the best covered sport in the world just because it's a world sport. It's free to air for majority of their main slams, and then they show majority of their tournaments from big to small, where cycling, it's only the big races that are covered. But I am a tennis fan, so that's probably why I'm probably putting more interest in that as well.
Did you have a rider of the summer? If you had to pick one rider,
I was going to George Bennell until he cooked it on that last what's the last stage?
Wollonga.
Yeah,
he did struggle. He did.
Yeah, because he set some sort of record up the corkscrew, and then he
had that day where he put his team in the wind. Yeah. Like, oh geez, this guy's here to race.
So it was going to be him, but look, I was impressed with the race I went to live with Viviani. I thought he was super. Caleb was good at TDU, but unfortunately got disqualified.
What were your thoughts on that? As a neutral, as a genuine neutral, did you think, yes, it was probably over the mark?
Oh, just can't he just slap on the wrist these days? Do you have to do that? Do you have to go to that big effort of disqualifying?
Well, Sagan, he got evicted from the tour not too long ago sent home on stage four. So, and Renshaw did some headbutting in the tour maybe 7 or 8 years ago. So, when they do it once, I think they kind of got to follow up, and it's not a good look, and I think that headbutting in the final, but
you probably don't want the under-15s coming out the next day.
No, you don't. So I see why they've done that.
Yeah.
I'm actually impressed with our boy Lucas Hamilton.
He's good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His ride to give Darren Wimpey the leader's jersey, I thought was superb on that on the last stage. He was going as quick as Richie. Maybe Richie was a little bit quicker, but... and Lucas kept Darren Wimpey up there, and then I thought he rode really well on the Great Ocean Road Race as well. Couldn't break the
record. And then he was good again in Sun Tour. Yeah. I think he was the super domestique of the summer.
Then
things probably didn't quite go right for them at Sun Tour on the GC, but he was still good.
Looks like he has legs.
Not being biased, but I reckon he's probably my rider of the summer.
Yeah.
I think he was active at Cadell's. If he wasn't there at Down Under, I don't think Impey would have won. So, for me, 3 votes, L. Hamilton.
Well, I agree. But the other one is Viviani. Won Cadell's race, came out and got the victory that he didn't quite get last year, and then also a stage at TDU.
Yeah.
You'd take that back to Italy and go, yep, that went all right.
That's a tick, yeah.
Especially just, it's such uncharted territory to come down for an Australian summer for some riders. So, to come down and nail it, it's pretty good.
Back it off it. Snowy winter.
Correct. You could almost put Daryl. Daryl is probably up there.
He's probably a little bit unlucky. <to miss out.
laughs> He did also win TDU.
He did win TDU. He was, what was he, second or third at Cadell. So he's probably a little bit unlucky. But yeah. I think just Lucas's ride just gets him over the line. Onto the Euro racing. It's kind of kicked off. I reckon it's when they get back to Europe, it just feels like the cycling season properly starts. What do you think?
Yeah, you start... All the people you follow on your Instagrams and your Twitters of cyclists, they start posting the photos of their Italian setup or their Swiss setup, and you start getting a little bit excited and knowing they're in their training phase and they're getting ready for a European summer. It's a bit of a lackluster start though, the European summer. It doesn't start with a bang.
It starts slowly with these races in Spain, and then it's not really till opening weekend in Belgium at the start of March where you're like,
one of the best weekends of the year. It's just starting. The season's on, and there's some perfect filthy Belgium racing to watch.
Yeah. And there's still technically some Asian tours coming up.
Dubai.
Is that still coming?
The UAE tour and Oman.
It's very cycling. There's bits here. There's bits there. There's all the different levels. You've got Asia going off opening week in Belgium, and then we've just come off the Arab races, but. Dubai is no longer...
No Dubai, no Qatar. So there's just the two, Oman and UAE.
It's a sprinter's paradise from memory.
Pretty much, I think Viviani cleaned up there last year. So, but what we have had already is the tour of Valencia, which is kind of like a bit of an intro. The first tour of the season, the boys just getting things underway. But it was a pretty good start list, and all the winners of the stage were pretty elite. And it started with a TT win for Eddie Bossenhagen, who he was winning tour stages. I think he won two in 2011 or 2012, and he was kind of a protege, and he never really quite got things like properly off, I don't think.
He got things moving in 2009 at Enico Tour, winning the GC. So, and he's only 31 now, so it kind of seems like he's about 45 and been around for years.
His name's constantly thrown up in a finish line sprint. It's just, no matter what, if he's in the peloton, he's got a chance of winning.
Exactly. Well, he's just won a TT with a filthy uphill, so.
Beating Tony Martin, which is, I mean, it's always an effort when he's in the TT, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's probably a little bit past now, I would have thought, Tony Martin, well, but he's still sniffing around. He's still sniffing around those thirds, but Eddie the boss, let's hope he kind of has a big season. I'm a fan. And only 31 years of age. It's not like he's 45 like you thought. Yeah, he's still young.
I thought he was so old. He's just been around for so long. And it's been he was so good so early. Stage two?
Just a bit of a gallop, wasn't it?
Stage two Trent's was a gallop. In. It was a filthy gallop, though. Did you watch it?
I saw it the final, like, yeah.
So Grunewagen got lost real early, and then it was just like left, right, and kind of Trenton came around the last. There was a turn with like about 100 metres to go. It was a dirty
The Spanish
sprint.
Racers just don't care. They got no safety for the riders, really.
And Trenton just used a bit of that Italian boxing on history just to weave his way to the front. And it'd be an interesting year for him.
Yeah, it will.
Caleb Ewan moves
maybe
on.
Maybe a little bit more licence.
Yeah.
Did he maybe cock up Caleb's chances at San Remo last year, possibly doing his own thing in the finale? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
Max?
He's
gone rogue a little bit.
He's an interesting rider to follow, Trenton. I'm not sure if he's always got the team values at the front of mind. It's good to see Mr. Personality come in second there, Buhani.
Are you a Buhani fan?
I'm a massive Buhani fan. He brings something to a cycling finish. It's just always good to watch.
So you enjoy the boxing on putting blokes
well,
into
speaking
the
of
the
TDU's
rails.
Caleb's disqualification, Buhani does that every time he goes for a sprint.
Yeah, he does. He's a proper dangerous rider. He'll be getting paid a mozzer at Cofidis, and he definitely hasn't repaid him, I don't think. He hasn't won a whole lot the last couple of years.
But that point also shows how good Trenton was to get. It was a box and on finish. There was not a whole lot of team support there, and to get over Buhani in a filthy left, right, left, into left finish.
Which would probably suit Nathan.
Full credit.
Stage three was GVA, and that was another filthy finish. I'm not sure if you saw that. He hit out from a long way, but
it was a GVA finish.
Is that their first win?
Paddy Bevan got a win at CDU. But what are your thoughts on this new CCC team? It's the same as BMC, but it just feels like it's a little bit more cowboy. The kit's not as nice.
Looks like the old Spanish team.
Euskadi. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it's as crisp as what it was as BMC. I'm not sure whether it's because they've lost a few riders or...
There's a lot of cards on GVA. Like there's a lot of tickets.
It's every card's on GVA.
Yeah. Before Paddy Bevan won at TDU, you thought, well, there's no other leaders. Paddy might be able to do something now, but it's literally all for GVA, I think. This whole team is built around Greg Van Avermaet.
And if his classics don't go to plan, geez, you'd be slightly nervous
in the team.
Isn't
it?
Yeah.
It's a rocky year.
I guess you can always bank on GVA for doing something in the back end of a grand tour, but still, like, I guess at least for them, Paddy Bevan stood up for those kind of one-week races and shown that he's got a fair bit of ticker.
Yep.
Thoughts on the kit?
I was actually a fan of the old Spanish team that ran a similar kit. The bright orange, when you are watching a peloton on TV, you do look for something that stands out a little bit. So if you're a fan of CCC, I mean, it's definitely the right colour top.
Are you a GVA fan as well?
Just because I've been following, obviously, Richie through his journey, I've always been up in arms about why they take two leaders to tours that we're trying to get Richie to win and GVA's there, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
So it's made me resent GVA a little bit.
Maybe this year when he's got no real other responsibility, you can maybe appreciate his work
because he is good.
He's a good bike rider. He's probably a little bit reckless at times, but I think it probably pays off more often than not. So
well, the genuine battles that he has with Sagan and Valverde and people like that, it's good to watch in that.
And Well, you're on his team. What do you reckon? Would you take, if you had him and a GC rider, would you take them both?
Probably yes. I mean, he doesn't really need a whole lot of help for the kind of races that
he likes to win.
But in a Tour de France, he can, on the cobbles, he can go rogue one day.
The stages he wins tends to be when there's 10 people in the peloton from about 50k out.
Exactly. So he's not sort of the guy that relies on teammates. But sometimes I think, especially in this sort of classics campaign, he's going to need some teammates for the finale. But to answer your question, Alex, I'd throw him in every time. Because he's good for a stage win here and there.
Someone, he can help though. Like Sagan, when he helped Vincenzo when they were on the same team. Like he was, remember that descent that Sagan got to the front and Vincenzo just followed him down the descent? It was 1 year tour. So he can still play a role.
Yeah.
If there was a GC guy. I don't think Bevan's got his hopes for these Grand Tours coming up though anyway, does he?
Who's that?
No.
I don't think
so. Paddy B, I think though, for those 1 weekers.
Yeah. Well, what sort of rider is he? He can do it all. He can literally do it all.
But I think at TD we showed that he can string it together. And besides that unlucky crash,
I think GVA might go for a sprinter's top at the Tour.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. Picking up those, you know, like a Sagan kind of move, going up the road, picking up
if there's a genuine battle there.
And at stage three, we had Eon still just running top tens, just putting himself in the mixer, which paid off in spades later on.
Stage four was a hilltop finish. And it was Adam Yates who he got the chockies over Valverde. Looking at the results, it looks like Yates actually rolled him in a sprint, but Yates hit out a little bit early and Valverde came up to the wheel at the finish line. So
I think it was about 5K. They had two categorized climbs into a final climb of 5K, hit out with about, rode the front pretty much the whole way.
Yates.
Which it kind of looked like he was doing the job for Jack Hay.
Yep.
And Hagee started to suffer a bit, but he hit out with 500 to go. Valverde was probably coming, but he was too good. And Bösenhagen just boxed his way up the hill, just pedaling squares, just muscling that muscle. Hammer time, and did a pretty good job.
So far, the World Championship curse is playing its role, second, but I don't imagine that that's going to hang around for too long. No. Valverde is a sort of bloke.
I think his legs are there.
They're always there. I think I saw a stat, every race, GC and stages, since the middle of 2016, he's finished inside the top 50.
Wow.
That's some consistency right there. Are you a fan of Valverde?
I am.
You are?
I am. I like the Spanish riders, and especially some with a little bit of flair, and I think Valverde has that. Well, you have to be a winner, to be honest.
He's a big winner.
And I've always appreciated people that can do it on the flat and do it on a hilltop. So, but he's not quite GC and he's not quite a sprinter, so he's caught in that middle
bracket. He's a craftsman.
He's a craftsman. But, I mean, it's good to see Dan Martin up here in the top five as well.
He's someone that's super inconsistent, especially at the start of the season. So him running a fifth on this hilltop means he's probably going to be coming in hard for Ardennes, I would have thought.
I'm a big Dan Martin man.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Don't know. Something about his, something about his teeth. They look.
He's not hustler.
Yeah.
And also the way he pedals a bike sometimes is not that pretty, but is efficient in the way he does it. When he's going, as Campbell said before, can have some absolute shockers, but
I feel like I could help him a lot with his technique on the bike.
Could you?
Bring him out to Oz.
Yeah.
What sort of tips would you give
just
him straight
stay,
away?
Just stay still. Please, Dan.
just a quick note, Jack Hague for a ninth. That's not bad.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to talk to Hague, actually, see where he's at, what he's doing this year. It'd be interesting to see what that whole squad's doing this year. They've got a logjam of climbers in there. Who goes where, who does what. Is it all in for the Tour? Are they going? Have they announced any?
I don't think they've announced their Grand Tour.
I'm presuming they're going to be riding GC for one of the Yates boys again.
I reckon every Tour they'll be going for the GC.
And it'd just be if they take Jack and like a Lucas with them or.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what Lucas is
doing. I think Lucas might be doing the Vuelta.
Yeah, right.
I think the Giro and the Tour are probably just a little bit too deep for someone his age, but.
Can you ride as a super domestique in your first Grand Tour, or are you there for making up the numbers and doing the work early?
Normally, they kind of give your first Grand Tour, you might do 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you're going there as a legitimate a team that's trying to win it, it's probably not in their interest to take someone just for the experience because you might need those 8 riders or 7 riders to help in the 3rd week. So
Hagee did it. he was good. His first welter was, I guess that was the first time that he started to show that he could get to the back end. And
he was really good in the race before the tour. What was it?
Dauphiné.
Yeah. He was really good in that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I think that was the first time we really saw him like on the world stage at the top level. Like, I think it'd be good this year.
It's only a week, though.
Stage five, Groenewegen.
Good to see.
Good to see.
Good to see. I'm a big Team Jumbo, man. Team Lotto Jumbo.
Yeah. They did last year in tour.
Yeah, most people are fans.
Yeah.
And, I guess kicked off the new age of sprinting competition between him and Gaviria and Caleb Ewan.
Yep.
The latter two both on new squads, which will be interesting for this year. And that wrapped up the tour.
Our boy finished top 10 again.
Bossenhagen. Always good for a top 10 somewhere along the line. Just a quick mention, Alexander Kristoff as well was second. He's kind of someone that slips your memory a little bit.
He had that huge year.
One year where he was just winning absolutely everything.
Unbeatable.
It helped out his wallet as well, I think. Mm, yeah. He's been on a pretty lucrative deal for a while and hasn't sort of backed it up.
Yeah, that's what it takes, doesn't it? Just one big season, get a good contract out of it. Yeah. Philip Gilbert did that at BMC.
It was the Russian team. They chucked a bit of money at him.
Katusha, yeah. He got a bucket load there, I would have thought.
They were disappointing with Kristoff and Zakarin doing absolutely nothing last year, weren't they?
And who else was it? Kittle. Oh, no, he wasn't there last year. I think it must have been the year before. Yeah, but Kittle had a shocker there last year. So there must be something bad in the water at Katusha.
With their that was through their international transition. They went from a pretty Russian-heavy squad into all right, let's bring some others in.
Yeah. It hasn't quite worked for them yet. The GC, it was Ioni Zagir, who we didn't really mention at all through the stages. He was just obviously chipping away.
Go through the stat sheet, just top 10s. Second on the TT, set him up.
Okay, that probably helps, yeah.
But after that, just did what he needed to do.
Both the, I think the bros are both at Astana this year, Zagir's.
Astana.
I shouldn't have the same manager, just contract comes
probably,
as one.
That would make sense.
That would make sense.
Jack Haig for a seventh. It's a good start.
Good start to the year.
So he's beaten Yates.
Yeah.
Seems a bit
That does seem, we'll have to go through all the stage results, but yeah, Jack Haig finishes in front of A. Yates. It's a bit of a surprise, actually, looking at those GC results.
Yates did not feature in the top 23 in the TT.
Well, there's your problem.
Yeah. Which would make him at least 28 seconds off the pace.
Seems to be a bit of a problem for him.
Versus Hagee that ran 14th. And Hagee's just come off his fifth winter in Europe.
Yeah, he hasn't come back to Australia.
He's
first
Australian boy.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he just doesn't come back, which is probably a good thing in a way. Like Europe's his home.
It is a horribly timed competition, the Australian summer, for European riders. Mm. So you can understand it to an extent why people wouldn't come back. I'm presuming most of the guys do come back because they want to see Australia and see home and see family.
Yeah,
and
most guys do.
To be able to ride competitively while you're doing that is a bit of a bonus.
And it's quite good for them too to put on a bit of a show. They're Australian, everyone gets around them, home racing. And now they're World Tour racing, so they're actually getting some runs on the board too.
Yeah, and if they're fit, they're normally favourites because the other guys aren't really that fit.
Yeah. Let's just skim over quickly the South African Nationals. Daryl Impey did the double, the TT road race double, up against
B2B in the road race.
Yeah, B2B in the road race, gets to wear that National Champs kit, which looks unreal.
It does.
The SA National Champs kit. He had his work cut out, though, against a strong Dimension Data squadron, like just came eight, in solo.
It was like eight or something, seven or eight in the top 10. The rest of them were Dimension Data.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And Impey just I haven't seen it. I've just seen the results. I've seen like the video of him coming in solo, so he must have just left him on a climb and
good on him.
Come in solo. But
the thing too is the video of him coming in solo, he's genuinely passionate about this win. It's like,
well, he's quite vocal against South African cycling, the board. He's been quite vocal in times about how much support they put in, and
yeah, okay.
So maybe it did mean something in terms of finishing the line first. And maybe sticking it up the union.
Yeah. But a big bonus that he gets to continue to wear that National Champs. I reckon it's the best National Champs kit in the business. Let's look forward to Tour of Colombia, which starts this evening, I believe, or whatever time schedule South America's on. I can never keep up. But this is, boys, some sort of start list. This is a start list that could be going for a a grand tour. Let's just reel off a few names. Froome, Gaviria, Henao, Quintana, Lopez, Jungles, Alaphilippe, Rigo, Berto Urán, just to name a few, plus boatloads of Colombians who are going to be climbing like madmen. What's your initial thoughts on the start list here, Max?
It's Colombia's in a good space at the moment with their cycling. Obviously, Nairo Quintana is a genuine star of the sport, but some of these younger riders that are coming through, and to have a sprinter, like it just seems rare for Colombia to have a good talented sprinter as well. I'm interested in a couple of the Westerners and how they're going to perform. I'm a big fan of Lawson Craddock from Education First. He can climb, but probably not to the extent the Colombians can. And interested in the Froome scenario.
I think you were saying before we started that he'd probably play a support role for Bernal.
You'd think so. You'd think Bernal would have trained for the home ride. And Froome, I do follow him on all sorts of social media. He doesn't seem to be in a full training phase at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it could be interesting. It's a strong team though, that Sky are taking.
What's your perception of Froome after his year of last?
I loved him, and then I took a hit a little bit, and as probably with most people, but I have forgiven him, and I do like him again. I do like what he does for the sport. I'm not a big fan of Team Sky personally, but I do like Chris. Yeah.
So you're happy to hear the news that Sky pulling their sponsorship at the end of this season?
Yeah, I was. I mean, sport goes through phases in all sports where there's a powerhouse and everyone ends up hating the powerhouse. Like, we hated Hawthorn. Like, every non-Hawthorn supporter hates Hawthorn at the moment. So when the powerhouse is there and they do things differently and they control races the way races haven't been controlled before, but Hawthorn controlled the ball the way no one has controlled the ball before. Mm-hmm. So powerhouses come in, everyone hates them, and then they eventually start losing again and no one cares about them anymore. So unfortunately, I'd rather Sky stay in and people to beat Sky. Like, I wanted to see Lotto Jumbo last year beat Sky, but unfortunately they're going to be beaten by their board.
Remember last year Tao Gyökeres did an Insta takeover on our Instagram, and the crowds at this race were off the charts.
Yeah, right.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you see the videos of Teams Prezzo last night.
Nah.
It's just like a stadium, like a running track, and just like the home straight stand is just full of people just gone wild
for these.
He can ride Gyökeres.
Yeah,
yeah. He's a proper rider.
He was on a training camp there, but he's not on the start list, which is a little bit disappointing.
You noted too by his Instagram, he's speaking pretty good Spanish.
Yeah.
He looks like Froome a lot on the bike.
Tall, lanky.
Yeah. White.
British.
But looking at Quick Step, I think Alaphilippe and Jungles, they're probably the two gringos that might be able to possibly mix things up. I don't think they'll be able to go in the high mountains, but I think they'll probably look to attack on at some point, especially Alaphilippe, who came off a good result in Argentina. So I think he'll be someone to look at, and always attacks a bike race, does Julian Alaphilippe.
The time's ticking on Bob Jungles, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Oh.
He won Liège Bastogne Liège last year.
Yes, I know, but we want him to be a tour rider, don't we?
I think he's probably got the potential. He's someone that can time trial well enough to win a grandy, but what is he? He's 26.
He's not
turning 27.
He's not
this
far
year.
Out of the white jersey competition. I think he was in that 2 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe.
In the Giro he wore it for a long time, but I think you're probably right. I think
actually the year Tom Dumoulin won the Giro, Jungles was in the white and they were working together.
Just the two diesels.
Yeah.
Two big boys dragging those bodies up those climbs.
Yeah.
Also, in the Kearney Quickstep squad is Hodgie.
Hodgie.
The young superstar. They got out of nowhere last year, as they do.
Must have some money, Quickstep.
Yes, but then also
they're scouting.
They just yield these riders from...
So they're all know. A lot of them are homegrown sort of.
There's a lot of homebred riders.
They pick them up as 16, 17-year-olds.
Well, yeah, I mean Remco Evenepoel, the new wonder kid. They
snagged
picked him
his
up.
First, snagged his win. Snagged a win?
No, where?
Anyway, go on.
I'm just trying to think.
It's always good to see Israel Cycling Academy get another gig.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of money coming out of Israel paying for gigs. They got another star in the Giro. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
But I'm just thinking, looking at the start list for them, nothing really too exciting?
Nothing pops out too much.
Nothing really jumps out, does
it? The non-tour teams.
What'll be interesting is what this bottom half of this stat sheet we've got. There'll just be a superstar.
Someone out of that bottom half will run a podium.
Yep.
There's just going to be some random Colombian bloke
from Team Colombia.
Yep, they're going to be riding at probably 4,000 metres and
yeah,
they're just going to be loving it.
Living at
the
five.
Zero there. tips, gents?
What, for Colombia?
No. Yeah, for the tour. Just pick one name who you think's going to win the overall.
Bernal with Froome as his right-hand man.
You find it interesting why some teams go to some tours, and I'm just finding it really interesting why Education First are here in Colombia. Probably because of Rigoberto, and I'm presuming that's the reason, but I reckon Rigoberto and Lawson Craddock are a good little tag team. I'm going to go Rigoberto.
Just for something different, I'm going to go with Lopez from Astana, also Colombian. He'll be motivated. There's the three.
We've all gone something different.
We have. I think it's good to mix it up.
And we've all gone Colombian.
Yeah. I think for a home race, everyone's always motivated.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the news. I think there's only one topic that we've actually plugged in the run sheet. Did you follow the saga with Io Chiesa in Argentina with his... there was an Instagram post where he was posing provocatively behind a waitress.
I haven't seen this.
Got put online. The waitress then complained to the team that it was some sort of sexual harassment or something, and then...
It was inappropriate.
It was awfully inappropriate from Chiesa, but then... So the news has come out, and then Patrick Lefebvre, the GM of Quickstep, has come out and pretty much said...
World-renowned, legend of the sport.
Pretty much said, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, right. He's defended him.
Pretty much, and then... That created more saga. Everyone going to him.
And there was escalations that she was going after money, and just sitting in the back of your seat, just going, just shut up.
And then eventually Lefebvre apologised. So it's all kind of been blown away, and then Keyes' dad then comes out and says, no, what's he done wrong? So it was a big, big mess. I think Lefebvre was going to pull his whole team from Argentina.
Yeah, right.
So something like that happened for an AFL player. I think there'd be some big-style consequences, and I don't imagine the GM of the Melbourne Football Club would be saying, no, he's done nothing wrong here.
No. It normally, there's a lot of support from the club, but when something goes wrong like that, the club try and stay as a club rather than jump in to support the player as much as they can. They'll support the player, but they'll keep their club view because, in the end, the club's bigger than the player, which should be the way this is as well, team. Cycling have always had issues with team
with egos.
Higher than player and egos, so I'm not actually not surprised that this has happened.
Well, your thoughts, Albie should have just shut his mouth, Patrick, and got on with it.
Patrick should have shut his mouth. His comms manager must have had the week off.
didn't take the trip to Buenos Aires.
Yeah. I don't know, it just made no sense. It didn't take a rock science to work out. He just needs to shut up and accept that that's what happened. He did something inappropriate.
Unfortunately, when something comes out, you have to accept it.
Especially for him, he's got such a... His reputation is so... Because of what he's made, he's just got Koenig back on board as a last-minute sponsor.
Yeah,
not a good start
and then
with
you're
that.
Doing this. It's come on,
And then his dad coming out too. This
What is wrong with these people?
It's how sponsors drop off. It's just how you lose sponsors. And we've had it in the past at Melbourne Football Club with a lot of stuff that we went through 8-10 years ago, and sponsors just drop off and drop off. And then it's even harder to even get sponsors back for a couple of years. And we finally managed to launch Jaguar and Johnny Walker Jaguar and Johnny Walker in the last couple of weeks, which are Melbourne brands as well. And sort of suit the way our club's looking and the heritage of our club, so it's good to finally get back. But we went way off when we tanking saga and sacking coaches and players messing up off field, and it all happened at once, and we lost sponsors galore, so they're pretty hard to get back from personal experience.
And as you said, it's not even just this sponsor, it's cycling every year. They're always hanging for a sponsor at the end of the year. No one's got a consistent, except for maybe Sky at the start.
Yeah.
But even that's come all unravelling at the end of this year. So it's just, it's not great for them. Especially when they're such a good squad.
Yeah, I know.
Anything else you wanted to talk about, Albie, on the news front?
Nothing really on the news front. I was scrolling cycling news today and it was just all tech stuff, which I don't really have
the
much
new Dura race. Yeah. Great.
They're all pretty happy about GVA and Groenewegen in terms of results. That seems to be all the news at the moment, which is good. What the news is on the road.
Yeah. I guess no news is good news in a way.
Especially with cycling.
So that probably brings the wrap on cycling. Let's just catch up with you quickly.
Yep.
How's the summer and the pre-season gone?
It's gone no hiccups. Touch wood. It's been a relatively good start. We've had a lot of injuries in terms of our club, though. So a few hamstrings, a few off-season injuries that are slowly coming. It looks like we're all just going to slowly morph together by round one, which is normally we're up and going by December and have to hold on. Where this year, because we made the prelim final, we've had the delayed start and we're going to be ready for round one rather than be ready for JLT one, which is, I mean, it's a much smarter idea when you look at it, but you get excited when you're all fit and healthy in December and just want to do scratch matches. But it's been a bit of a patient approach from the club and I think we're all feeling better for that.
The AFL, with their new AFLX, trying to shorten, taking everyone else's take on their sports with the Big Bash and the tennis being shortened as well. What's your take on them, the concept and how they've gone about implementing it?
It's basically the same concept as the six-day event at Rod Laver that was going on. They were advertising that as beers, bikes and
beats.
And beats, beers, bikes and beats.
Did you go?
I was thinking about it until I saw that slogan of beers, bikes and beats.
Yeah, it's a little bit ordinary, isn't it?
Me and Campbell went on the Friday.
Did you?
Tyson Goldsack was there, so won a few beers as well, actually.
Right. Is Tyson a cycling fan?
He must be. He's got a beard. That sort of suits the cycling.
It could be really good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't delivered that well.
Oh, right.
I think going there, it'd be like, oh my God, take me to Ghent. Like, the Ghent 6 day. It'd be unreal. Even London would be good too.
Yeah.
The potential's there for a really good event.
It's probably similar to AFLX when you think about it. But AFLX is targeted for kids. This is obviously targeted for something a little bit older.
Especially with the beers.
It'd be interesting to see if
the people that complain about AFLX aren't the people that they're targeting. So, I don't mind the whole concept. Obviously, it's got to be made worth players' while because they're putting their body and season on the line.
Yeah.
It's got to be made the club's while as well. So I think the clubs have to somehow get something out of it as well. If it's like a fee to use their players or something like that. But I feel like all parties have got to get something out of it. At the moment, it's the clubs that aren't. So then the clubs won't come to the party and they will potentially pull players and stuff like that. So it's getting there. I think State of Origin is going to be the best way to do it, though, in terms of AFLX. But it might be taking the piss out of State of Origin as well.
Yeah.
Turning it into a fun game.
Well, NRL, their State of Origin is like the biggest thing of the year, isn't it? How have they done that? Like, and how do clubs let their players go out and
it's more
play
that's
the
just,
hardest games of the year?
It's hard to break tradition.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it somehow got broken in the AFL, and I don't know what the reasons were behind it in the 90s. Well, it sort of made the early 2000s as well, but it wasn't as good in the early 2000s. Where NRL has just stuck strong, and now it's State of every like from coaches who played State of Origin know that their players want to play State of Origin and that comes first. So it's hard to get that ingrown into culture. So I personally think State of Origin can't make its way back in. I'd love to play it, but
you don't think it will in your career anyway.
Don't think you can shift a culture like that.
Do you reckon the boys would take it seriously, or do you think they'd have, like you said, a bit of a Mickey Mouse kind of feel about it?
Yeah, there's not as much. Are you a diehard well, you're not in Victoria.
Well,
right?
From Tasmania.
Yeah. Are you a diehard Tasmanian?
Yeah, right.
So I wouldn't say I'm so diehard about my Victorian border next to South Australia.
Like that's not a concern.
I don't want to go beat up all those South Australians. Like it's not something that pops up in my head straight away. So
yeah,
like it'd be cool to play a game of footy against the elite, but that's the way I'd see it. I wouldn't see it as wanting to kill thy neighbour. Like I'm not as territorial.
Yeah.
Plus, I've got semi-New Zealand blood as well. So
yeah, you do, which probably...
That could be fun. An AFLX where there's mixed cultures, maybe. I'll go get a couple of all Blacks and...
Maybe, get Schwatter back, maybe.
Maybe Brendan McCullum can come play.
Are all the Stars good for Melbourne this year? Just reference my super coach, you, Clayton. Going to be all right?
Stephen May's just hurt his hammy. He's out of AFLX, but he should be right by round one. There's no catastrophic injuries. We've had knee recos in our time in pre-seasons, but everyone will be playing at some point this year at the moment. Lee will be a little bit behind because he was around 10 knee reco last year, so the 12 months will be about around 10. And that's in terms of guys that are in rehab, that'd probably be the only one that isn't targeted for round one. So they're all going to be there. Clayton's had an indifferent pre-season, getting double shoulder up, which is incredibly, like, practically hard to live.
Young as well.
Yeah, like two shoulder ops at once, both arms and a sling sort of setup is quite a hard life to live. So he had a dull sort of 5-6 weeks there. And young, but hopefully that means it's good that he's got him done young.
Anything else to add, Alex?
No, all good.
Don't have any Melbourne-related questions?
No, just sounds confident.
Yeah, I think it's such a bittersweet way to end. I know I came in here last time and we're just on the eve of a final series.
Yeah.
And it was such an exciting time to be a Melbourne supporter, and we managed to get two lots of 90,000 people to the MCG, which is exciting and very rare for Melbourne games. I know Hawthorn and Geelong helped those numbers, but it felt like it was majority Melbourne.
Yeah,
when
that
was
a D's crowd.
Yeah. And then to be able to experience prelim final day in a rival town where there was only one team left in that town, that was an amazing morning. The smell in the air, the people, there was West Coast supporters everywhere. And like, I might not be able to experience a prelim final in a rival town again. It might all be at the MCG. And so to be able to experience it was super. Yes, I would want to forget the middle 2.5 hours. But the experience, the day leading into it, the night before, getting my coffee in the morning before the West Coast game, I had policemen sitting behind me in the coffee order joking about tasering me now so I don't get to the game. Like, it was just a phenomenal tribal town that it made me love footy and made me really want to get out there and play. Obviously, we didn't play that well, but I doubt it was because I didn't want to be there.
How are you feeling going into this year compared to last year?
Similar. Last year, we were ultra disappointed because we crumbled at the final hurdle and didn't even make finals. So, but we got the confidence that we could be there last year to go into this year. Now the confidence was already there. So now it's more about making sure we take it without boring everyone listening to this podcast of a cliche. We literally got to take it week by week because we want to do well in finals again.
Melbourne first.
Yeah, we want to do well in finals again and get to a prelim and do better in that again, but we're not going to get there if we don't think about round one against Port.
Is it getting more exciting though? It's like, Jesus, we were so close last year. We're slowly progressing. This is it?
I think we can play finals every single year I've been on the list. That's how positive pre-seasons are. So you're training by yourself, you're running, you're feeling the best you have. February is literally the month where you feel unbelievable because you've done all that training. We've just come back from a sunny camp, so we're seeing our vitamin D as well.
Looking tanned.
Looking relatively tanned.
Good for the singlet in the middle
of
winter.
Team photos are around now. Like, it's a great time to be positive going into a season, and I've been positive every year and won a wooden spoon that year. So it's every team's going to be positive going into this year, and round one will obviously tell a few teams out, and by about round 7 or 8 you'll know what the contenders are. So it's all about consistency throughout the year.
And how contrasting is that compared to what's going on in the cycling at the moment? Everyone just goes home, does whatever they want, come back. You might not see a guy until halfway through the year.
Yeah.
They do, I guess, an end of season training camp, but then they're off racing random races all year. This is completely different.
It's a such polar opposite sport. I try and take a little bit out of watching cycling docos and stuff to bring it to footy, but it's hard because they are so polar opposite. But there is that selfless side of cycling, which I really enjoy. It's the biggest battle in footy is selfish v selfless people. And we get Neil Danaher speak to us a fair bit, and he epitomises selfless people. Like, he is fighting a disease that he won't win himself, but he'll try and fight for other people. And I see that in cycling. It's not life or death cycling, it's a sport, but they're able to take a little bit of that sort of analogy into their sport, and footy's a little bit behind that, but hopefully we get there.
Super. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully I get to come in right in the middle of the European summer and I can talk some genuine cycling results. And we can start potting people for poor summers.
Yeah. Pulling a few people up.
I can't wait to jump on Christoph again.
And Youngles, maybe.
Youngles not running top 10 of the tour.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Christoph win a stage in the tour because everyone else went?
Well, I think he won on the Champs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably because everyone else wasn't left.
Yeah, everyone else got flicked in the mountains.
I think Christoph was the last one left.
Yeah, he was.
Which is a credit to him to be able to get over the mountains and stay in the time gap, but I think he was the last sprinter left. I think he was up against our boy Boitsenhagen.
We're in Vale Street in North Melbourne at MAP HQ, if you haven't already checked it out. Thanks to MAP for supporting the podcast. Thanks, Max. And we'll see you back at the Social Club soon.
Thanks, gents.